Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross, I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. And today we're talking about container gardening. With me to share some wisdom is Master Gardener Mary Jane Bonowitz. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, I think lots of people can kind of infer what container gardening is going to be about. Would you give us just a really brief overview to get everyone on the same page?
Sure. It's anything that holds soil together so you can plant in it becomes a container. Mm-hmm. They say that real gardeners believe that anything can be a container. Mm-hmm. And I've seen things from boots, toilets, sinks, tires. I've seen a car used as a container. And then there's traditional pots such as terracotta and glazed pots. But anything that holds soil together.
So then what are some situations where container gardening might be the best approach?
Well, I think the most obvious one is when you have limited access to soil in the ground, where you live perhaps in an apartment or with an HOA where you can't plant in the soil. Sometimes it's called patio gardening because you have a patio or a deck, but you don't have a way to get to the native soil. Another advantage of doing this, or a reason that you might want to do that, is it gives you great control over what is being done with your plants. You can control the fertilizer really well. You actually can build the soil that you want the plant to grow in. You can control the water. There's less weeding being done because there's not as much soil at the surface. The plants hopefully block out some of the sun getting to the soil, so weeds don't collect there. I think the one advantage that's overlooked a great deal for people has to do with location. And we talk in Master Gardeners about right plant, right place. Well, if you're not sure, you're trying to push the boundaries of that. If you put the plant you're working with in a container, you can move it. Try it out in different spots so you can find out if the sunlight is okay or the rainfall is okay where it's at. And then you get a good idea of the wind, the microclimate that it's in. You can get a good idea if a plant is going to survive. Once you've done that with your container, if you want to put it in the ground, then you know you've got a really good spot for it.
You can really get to know that particular plant and its needs before you commit to putting an expensive plant in the ground.
Right. And then you have to dig it up because it's unhappy and you move it to the next place and the next place.
So what types of plants might you want to grow in a container?
You can really grow just about anything as long as you've got a container that's big enough for it. You can grow herbs, shrubs, flowers, trees. There's many trees that work in containers. Vegetables are a blooming field, so to speak. There's a lot of vegetables that do really well in containers. One of our local seed companies here, Territorial Seed, actually has sections that talk about seeds that do well in containers, particular vegetables or plants that they grow that do well in containers. Again, you want the right size of container. And so if you're looking at a plant that might get big, you might see if there's a dwarf variety of that that you would want to use. There's also fruit trees. There's columnar apples now that you can grow, that grow in a column that you can plant in containers and actually grow apples in your backyard.
I've heard of some people doing that with Meyer lemons, where they can
put
them out or bring them in for the winter and overwinter them inside.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a lot of flexibility to even grow stuff outside of your hardiness zone.
Right.
So you mentioned that you can grow just about anything as long as you have enough soil and space for it. What is sort of the bottom end of what a container garden can look like? How small can you get?
You know, if you're looking at like bonsai and things like that, you can get really tiny. I think it's just a limit on how big your plant is going to get in the roots that are required. For instance, if you're growing vegetables and you've got a root vegetable like a carrot or a beet, you want to make sure you've got enough depth on your pot. So you're selecting the correct pot so that there's enough room for that root vegetable to grow. Some plants are very shallow rooted. I just dug up my geum this last weekend to replenish the soil in them. They're in containers and very shallow rooted. I was kind of amazed. They've been in there for several years and the roots were right up at the surface. Yeah, so it just depends on what the root system is on the plant that you're wanting to grow. What my recommendation is to always go big. You always want to buy your containers within your budget, of course, but you want to make sure you get containers that are as big as possible. I've never regretted getting a big container. I have always regretted getting a little container. Well, we're talking about containers. There's, as I said, different types of containers. There's the terracotta. There is a glazed containers or ceramic containers, fiberglass, there's foam containers, resin, all different kinds of materials, plus all of the unusual things like we talked about.
Repurposed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Repurposed containers. The most important thing, regardless of what you're using, what type of container that you're using, is that you have lots of good drainage in your container. You need to have holes all throughout the bottom of the container. There's a great drill you can get. It will drill through anything, ceramic, metal, terracotta. It drills through everything. And I always put more holes in the bottoms of containers when I get them. Many of them have one central hole, and it's so easy for those to get plugged up. And plugged up holes in containers, there's no drainage happening.
It becomes a bathtub.
Exactly. And so then you have root rot. And so that is a huge problem. Well, let's talk about soil for a little while.
Okay, please.
When you're choosing soil for your container, there's two components of soil that you want to make sure are present in the potting mix that you use or that you're creating. You want something that's going to hold water in, such as coir, which is a byproduct of the coconut industry, or peat, which is a limited resource that we have on our planet. Uh-huh. So I recommend the coir. But you want something that's going to retain water, hold it in so you keep those roots moist. In addition, and this sounds a little counterintuitive, but you also want something that promotes drainage. Mm-hmm. So you want something like perlite or vermiculite or sand or something that can create air pockets so that there's air, because the roots not only need water, they need air down there too. And when you get, for instance, clay soils that are packed, that's what kills off plants in clay soils, is there's no air down there. So you want something that increases drainage so that plants don't sit in water and also creates air pockets. The other thing to think about is if you want a slow-released fertilizer to mix into your soil before you actually plant. I prefer personally to use a liquid fertilizer after I've planted, but that's a personal preference.
It seems like container plants are a little bit like Goldilocks. They don't want to be too dry, but also not too wet.
Right, and it depends on the plant.
Yeah,
it depends.
True.
On, you know, succulents, cactus don't like to be wet at all. Mm-hmm. Plant a hydrangea and they want to be wet.
Mm-hmm. Or like a mint wants to be a little moister, yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
So yeah. Is then the importance of watering in containers that it's a smaller space where like there can be more faster cycles where things can dry out faster or get more waterlogged quicker?
Absolutely. That's one of the disadvantages, and probably the biggest disadvantage of container gardening, is that things do dry out quicker, particularly in pots such as terracotta, which are porous, and so they dry out easily. They leach out water. But watering is a big issue. On that subject, there are, again, not new on the market, but I think gaining momentum are self-watering containers. They don't have holes in the bottom. Then they have a reservoir in the bottom, which again sounds counterintuitive to what I was saying, but the roots never get to that reservoir. They use a wicking system and it wicks the water up to the roots so they don't go down to the reservoir. And then you water and fill this reservoir from up above, and there's a tube that goes down to the reservoir. So you can actually leave your plants over a long weekend and not have to water every day. Whereas if you're watering overhead, you easily could need to water more than, sometimes even more than once a day if it's incredibly hot. and you're growing, for instance, tomatoes, who need that consistent watering. Self-watering containers are really something to think about, particularly if you're not going to be able to be out watering regularly.
And you can build those yourself using like gallon milk jugs. There's a system on display at the Waldport Demonstration Garden, I believe.
There is, yeah. That's the same idea. They have a vertical garden there, and they have a milk jug, and then they have, it's a cotton wick that they use. It takes it up there. It's a little bit different than that in a container, like I'm talking about, but it's exactly the same principle with that. It's easy to build your own self-watering container. Again, there's lots of ideas online on how to do that, or call our plant clinic or write them at lincolnmg@oregonstate.edu, and they would be happy to get you information on self-watering containers and how to build one. Part of the maintenance of a container for me, and what I believe you need to do, is that you need to remove your plants from the container. Every few years, you need to remove them, check the roots, make sure everything's okay, replenish the soil, because the soil loses its nutrients. As much as you can add fertilizer, it does lose its nutrient potential there. And then you can also root prune your plants, so that if you're getting a plant that's getting too big, you can prune the roots, and it will contain the growth of that plant.
What are some warning signs that you might notice in a plant that is overgrowing its pot, it's getting a little too root bound?
Well, the obvious sign is when you can see roots out the holes. But besides that, anything that's changing the vigor of the plant, that would be one of my first thoughts. And don't assume because it's relatively new and you just put it in there that that's not the issue, because if it's a plant that has a big root system, it can take over a pot in a season easily.
Is there anything else that you had to learn the hard way that we can help listeners with before they stumble upon those problems?
I think one of the bigger challenges is the weight of a pot. Soil is very heavy. You get wet soil and it becomes even heavier. There are some items on the market that help with that a great deal. One is called a pot lifter, where it is a device that two people carry. You hook it around the pot, one on each side, and it really doesn't matter the height of the people carrying it. It can adapt to varying heights, and two people can carry a pot very easily, whereas one person would never be able to. I also use my furniture dolly a great deal. That's getting it up maybe 4 inches onto the dolly versus lifting a pot. You put it on the dolly and you can slide across the patio and put it in its new location.
That's very clever.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little tricky. It's also really easy to dip your toes into container gardening. Thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge and helping to inspire us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's about time to start thinking about planting spring bulbs. We'll have Joan back to do a full episode about planting bulbs in a few weeks. But now it's that time where gardeners should start thinking about and being on the lookout for spring blooming bulbs. When planting, you want to get just the right window, because if you plant them too early, they'll try and grow in the fall, fail, and then not bloom in the spring. But if you plant them too late, they'll be unable to form enough roots before winter hits. In general, you want to plant spring bulbs about 6 weeks before it freezes. Frost dates in Lincoln County fall between late October and early December, so if you live in the inland parts of the county, bulb planting season is right around the corner. But if you live very close to the ocean, you might want to hold off a bit. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!